All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here. We're tuning back into the retirement plans and just kind of reviewing. And so if you're just listening into the show, I would encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com. And if you want to know all the shows, I think right now we're hitting like number 100 on the podcast. And so you can go in anything you need to know about money, just Google Roy Matlock Jr. and you can find that podcast, or you can go to roymatlockjr.com. One of the most important things you can do for yourself is spend time, like you're listening right now, on becoming educated. And once you become educated on money, you can work with someone and make good decisions and things like that. And so when we came out of the break, we talked about the different types of plans. So here's the bottom line. 401k contribution, you can put in about $19,500, give or take, right in there. And if you're over 50, you can up it another $65,000. You're going to end up at about $26,000 that you can put in, not including your matching. So think about that. You can put that money in, deduct it off your income taxes. How about that? That's good. Or you could choose a Roth option. If you're younger, you might do that, and then that way you have tax-free money going out into the future. A 403b is very similar. 403b, 401k, almost the same. Difference is one's from a nonprofit, the other is from a for-profit. So like your hospitals, your school systems, things like that have that. And they generally have matching funds the same way. They may match 3% or something like that. They may even include a profit sharing in there for you. But you want to max that out. And here's why you max it out. If you're putting money in, it's deductible. So, and just a ballpark, if you're in the 33% tax bracket, you're both working, and you know the top bracket's going to be like 39 this year. But anyway, if you're in the 33% bracket and you put in 6%, it only costs you, because you deducted it, it only costs you 4%, because you got that deduction off of it, and then they match you 3%. So the way I look at it is they you put in 4 out of your cash flow, and you get 9 because of matching. It's a pretty good rate of return on your money right off the bat, not including the growth that it's going to do, tax-deferred or tax-free, depending on what you do. 457 plans, very similar thing with catch-up contributions on that. If you're changing jobs, one of your options is to roll over your retirement account. We do a lot of that, where people have these lost 401ks from previous jobs. They are not paying attention to it. I always tell people this. Don't have your, you know, if you find a good financial advisor and put all the money in one place. And the reason you do that is that way that person can asset allocate that for you. And that means that you don't get heavy in one and they don't have access to the other and all that. Find somebody you feel good about and then put it all in that one spot. And then let them diversify it for you, make sure things are going. Let them help you with your 401k options. And then as you change jobs, you have a catching ground, which is an IRA, to where you can roll those things over tax-free. You also have the option, if you're over 59 and a half, a lot of people don't realize this, but if you're working for a company right now, you're contributing, you're still planning on working, you're going to continue working, you can continue contributing to those and do what's called an in-service withdrawal. And I have a lot of my clients that they're like, you know what, I'm just going to let you, I want you managing the allocation and all that, you know, help me with what I've got in there, but let, you know, on the new contributions, but let's get all of it out, put it in IRA. You can do that and continue to contribute to your retirement account through your job. And so you start thinking about that, you move it over, it's a tax-free deal, lots of advantages, you know, that you can do better, you know, more investment choices, potentially lower fees. You got it in one place, so you know what's going on, one login. You know, you've got the ability to do the Roth option. You know, you may want to, depending on where you're at, convert some of it, you know, if you're at or near retirement. Less rules on what you can do with it, and you can do some different estate planning options as a result of that. So you might want to continue that. Then we have a SEP IRA. If you're self-employed, it's designed for people that are pretty much solo workers. You know, maybe you're in a gig economy or a real estate agent, or you've got a small company with 2 or 3 employees. You can put up to 25% of your profit into a SEP pre-tax, and that goes up. You can put up to $58,000 in there. So think about that. I mean, you make a couple hundred grand a year profit, throw in 50. Now you only get taxed on 150. If you have a few employees, maybe you throw in another 25 for them. Now you're getting taxed on $125,000 instead of $200,000. That saves you $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 in taxes, and your employees are happy because you matched it. Another plan is a simple plan. We just set one up just recently for a small business, you know, where you've got 15, 20, 30 employees, 50 employees, something like that. It's a low-cost way to be able to set up a plan for your employees, and you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to put 2% in on everyone or your of their salary, or you're going to match up to 3%. And so it's a low-cost one. It's not a full 401k. If you get much bigger than, you know, a small business like that, you're probably going to be better off doing just a full-scale 401k, and now you're doing the same thing that the big companies are doing. And so think about that. That's your options if you're self-employed. Your IRAs, you have a traditional and a Roth. A traditional is where you can pre-tax deduct it. A Roth is after-tax, and it grows tax-free. So what's the difference in that? Well, if you put it in a traditional IRA, you can turn around and deduct it. So let's say you throw in $6,000, okay, into one of those, and you made $100,000. Well, now you only get taxed on $94,000. That money will grow until you start withdrawing it, and you're forced to withdraw it at age 72, called a required minimum distribution, and then you'll start paying taxes on it. But until then, that money grows tax deferred. You got a deduction up front. Depending on your situation, it may be that that's your best option. If you want to go the opposite route, you're younger, generally speaking. I tell younger people a Roth makes a little bit more sense because you've got longer times of compounding. The benefit of the Roth is it grows tax-free. There's other options with the Roth where, you know, you can, after 5 years, you can take out your principal that you put in without penalty, like maybe for a home purchase. So if you're young, getting started, you ought to do a Roth. And here's the cool thing about it. I started my first IRA with $50 a month, and you can still do it today. So if you're out there right now and you're wanting to get started, what I'll do is I'll put you with one of my young advisors who is going to live a long time, not like me, and you're starting and you've got someone that you can work with, and you can open one for $50 or $100 a month. Everybody should do it. Everybody should do something like that. And so if you're interested in something like that, go to roymatlockjr.com and just, you know, call our office or fill out a form. You know, get educated when you're young. I mean, when's the best time to get financially educated? It should be at high school, right, to where you can learn how to do things so you're not, you know, always making these bad decisions that cost you. On average, I read every bad decision that people makes, that they make financially, they generally speaking, it cost them $13,000. And they generally will go, I see people make $13,000 bad decisions all the time. And why is it? Well, because they don't know. Let me give you a perfect example. When I was newly married, as really didn't understand money, I bought two new cars. Okay, got buried on that. All right, once I had no money and I bought new cars, which is typically the people who buy new cars. They have no money. What they do, they go finance them forever, and then they drive off the showroom, get buried on the depreciation. Well, that was it. I don't know how much that cost me, but when I learned, I finally figured out that if I could ever get out from under those cars, I sold them both and I bought two used cars, and I was out of car payments in about a year, and that was in 1987, all right? And so I had made my dumb decisions, okay, when I was broke about cars, okay, in 1987, and I would have been at that time 26 years old, so I didn't have to make continually bad decisions. And since that time, you know what I do? I buy used cars. 60 years old, buy used cars. All right, the reason I do it is because I let somebody else make the payment on the depreciation. So what you want to do is get educated. Anyway, it's kind of off the retirement subject. But anyway, with that being said, what we're going to do next is we're going to start talking about which IRA should you do. We're going to get into some of the benefits of the different types of college savings plans. Got a lot of good stuff that we're going to be continuing on. And I want to encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. One of our key things that we have is something called a family financial workshop that you can teach your kids. You can download that for free. Go to roymatlockjr.com and you'll be able to find that. We'll be right back.